Not running your business on NetSuite is like trying to sink a putt with a cat pulled over your eyes. Over 29,000 businesses already use NetSuite. Head to netsuite.com/minute for a special one-of-a-kind financing offer. netsuite.com/minute.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, July 19th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Americans built up trillions of dollars in savings during the pandemic, and with banks offering savings rates of close to zero, a lot of people are being tempted by the higher rates offered by financial technology startups. But those could come with a higher level of risk as well.
You should approach yields of 3 to 4 to 5% and higher with a lot of skepticism, because the fintech generating that is doing something that banks can't and won't do, and you need to understand that before you commit your money.
Jason Zweig writes the WSJ's Intelligent Investor column. Coming up, he'll tell us how these startups can offer such attractive rates and why investors need to look beyond the percentages and flashy marketing language to be sure their cash is not at risk. That's after the break. High inflation and an unsettled economy might send many Americans searching for a better interest rate on their cash. The savings rates at traditional banks have been near zero for years, but a new crop of financial technology or fintech startups promise much more attractive rates. So are they all they're cracked up to be? WSJ Intelligent Investor columnist Jason Zweig is with us to discuss. Hey, Jason, thank you so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, JR.
So, you know, Jason, some of these startups, I'm thinking of places like Fair, Aspiration, HM Bradley, Current Varo, they're offering rates in the 3% to 5% range, and that's far above what traditional banks are offering. So how do these startups work, and why are many of their rates so high?
Well, so these companies, these fintech startups, usually represent what they're doing as a sort of modified savings account. And the way they get these higher yields is by investing in the financial markets. So this is not a yield that you're earning on the savings account itself. It's a yield that the fintech company is generating by buying stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, and basically taking greater risks in order to earn those potentially higher returns.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the risk involved. Now, there's risk in almost any kind of investment, but how does the risk involved in making deposits with many of these startups compare with a traditional bank?
Well, if you put your money in a traditional bank in the U.S., you get your deposit insured up to $250,000 per account by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC. Which means that basically the U.S. government is ensuring that you won't lose money on your deposit, even if the bank goes bust. And as a general rule, with these fintechs, you either don't get that guarantee or you get a modified form of it. A lot of these fintech startups are not regulated as banks, per se. And that gives them somewhat more freedom since they're not subject to all the same regulations as traditional banks. They can take more risks and they can take different kinds of risks than traditional banks customarily will with deposits. And that's a large part of where these high yields come from.
And the bank rates down near zero make other rates in the 3 to 5% range look all the more attractive. But what are some mistakes that people make when investing cash with a fintech?
There's a very old quip: I'm more concerned about the return of my money than I am about the return on my money. And of course, if you put your cash in a savings account at a traditional bank, you know that the return of your money is assured because the federal government guarantees it. If you go with one of these fintechs, that may not always be the case. Some of these fintechs either imply or state that they're committed to these rates, and the high rates they're offering can sound a lot like a promise or a guarantee. And, you know, when bank savings accounts are yielding, you know, well under 1%, just a fraction of it, you should approach yields of 3 to 4 to 5% and higher with a lot of skepticism, because the fintech generating that is doing something that banks can't and won't do, and you need to understand that before you commit your money.
Now, you've spoken with several of the fintech startups in this space. How do they respond?
Well, the response varies quite a bit depending on the strategies that they're implementing. I mean, in some cases, it really is just the word of the fintech startup behind an implicit promise to give you your full principal back. And in other cases, there is an explicit FDIC guarantee that you will get back the money you put in the first place. But that doesn't guarantee that you'll have appreciation on the account. And in no case that I'm aware of are they guaranteeing that your deposit is secure and the high rate is available without restriction and without any risk. Sometimes these promises or pledges or implied guarantees can be pretty aggressive. Until last week, the website of one of these high-yield apps, called Fair, claimed, and I quote, "All you need to do is sit back and watch your wealth-building account balance grow every month!" Exclamation point. And it was that grow every month that gave me, I guess, some concerns, because that, to me, really did sound like a guarantee. And after I asked whether some investors might well interpret that as a legally binding promise, Fair's founder removed that wording from the website, although the every month language was still there, at least as of last weekend, in some other wording on the same site.
Has any of this elevated risk caught the attention of, say, consumer watchdog groups or regulators?
Yes, it has. Last year, the Federal Trade Commission, which regulates marketing practices across a variety of businesses, did take action against one high-yield fintech app called Beam and imposed some penalties and restitution for people who had been promised high yield on their savings accounts and did not receive it. So, and I would expect we may well see more cases like that in the future. And it's a sign that consumers just need to be vigilant and not to take these messages about high yields that are available as if they were gospel, because some are and some are really what they sound like, maybe too good to be true.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal intelligent investor columnist Jason Zweig. Jason, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
My pleasure. Thanks, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.